Thank you, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for the county executive for inviting us, and Sheriff Lewis. Always been a great partner. As many of you are aware, Sheriff Lewis worked Maryland State Police in my county. I used to work hand in hand with him while I worked narcotics as well. But thank you for welcoming us down to the beautiful county. Cecil County was the third county in Maryland to have the 287G program as well. We also, like Hartford, do the jail enforcement model, where we screen every person that comes into our facility. Doesn't matter race, sex, color, every single person that comes into our facility gets screened by a trained correctional officer that was going to federal training down in South Carolina. We have five correctional officers in our facility that are trained to do that. Over approximately the last 5 years, we have screened nearly 12,000 people that have entered our facility. Of those 12,000 people, about 380 of them have been referred to ICE for possible action. Of those 380, ICE has only issued detainers for 99 of them. So not everybody that gets referred to ICE is like, people think they're like flying on an airplane and taken out of the country. That's not how it works. We refer them to ICE. If they want them, they issue the detainer. Of those 99, the majority of them already have final orders of removal. They've already had process done. Due process is a big buzzword, as we know, in the media. Some of those have entered the United States without inspection. Some of them were illegal re-entry after removal the first time, so they were legally removed through the process, through due process, and they came back to this country. Some of those 99 were in that category. Some were visa overstays. There's multiple categories that we refer people to ICE for. And it's not up to us as sheriffs to decide what ICE wants to do. ICE has the final action. And there is due process. You hear a lot of people say there's no due process. There is due process. So it's worked very well in Cecil County. Sheriff Adams was unable to be here today. Unfortunately, he had a budget meeting. So I'm representing Sheriff Adams. But the people of our county highly support our operations. Sheriff's been elected 3 times, and we've only had the program for just over 5 years, but it's worked very well in our county. And like Sheriff Gaylor, we don't want to see ICE come in and do operations on the street. It's much more dangerous, much safer to give them to ICE at our facility. And like Sheriff Gaylor said, we're afraid that if ICE does come in, like he said, if they're looking for one particular person, they go to that person's house, and their brother, mother, father are there, and they're illegal too. Everybody's going, not just the criminal person they're looking for. So I will be here as well after the meeting. Reaffirm what the county executive said, Sheriff Gaylor, Sheriff Lewis. I'm last in line here, but I'm glad to answer any questions after it's over. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I really hope that a lot of you will look at my testimony with the legislature or the Senate last night. I will tell you, this whole thing has been weighing heavy on me since, you know, for about 6 or 8 months now. Talked to the sheriff numerous times about it. I will tell you, I know the question is probably out there, does the county council know? They are well aware of this. They have been updated on every single part of this, and I have a majority support from the council. But I will tell you, I cannot allow, I should say I cannot, I do not want ICE ripping people from their homes. I don't want school raids. I don't want community raids. And when we're hearing that that is what is going to happen if our jails cannot work with us, there's no other option. So while some of you may be thinking we just signed, you know, something to make our communities unsafe, we did exactly the opposite of that. We want our communities to be safe. We want our people to be safe. I want kids to be able to go to school and be safe. And so I really hope that you all understand why we decided to do this. And again, we know the state of Maryland is moving in a direction, and I will tell you they are misleading the public. I heard those public comments. The public there is fully under the impression that Senate Bill 245 is going to remove ICE out of the state of Maryland. It is not true. They are not leaving, but we as elected officials can put guardrails on what ICE is doing. And that is why we decided to do it. There are two other bills that I just wanted to talk about. Senate Bill 1, which talks about face coverings. That is more of an operational decision between the sheriff, so there was definitely some opposition on that. Our ICE agents are wearing face masks because they're being harassed. They're being followed. Their families are being targeted. So I mean, that is why, but again, that's more of an operational. And then the last one is the icebreaker bill. The icebreaker bill has not been filed yet, but it's being talked about that any person who has worked under the Trump administration with ICE cannot be a law enforcement officer in Maryland. Also a huge issue. So until that bill gets filed, there's really not much to talk about. I mean, obviously, I know these gentlemen would have an opinion on it. But I'm going to turn it back over to the sheriff to close, and then we will answer any questions that you have.
Thank you, Madam County Executive. I want to say this. She is the only county executive in the state of Maryland today that has taken the unprecedented step to enter into a 287G agreement solely because I do not have autonomy over the Wicomico County Detention Center. That falls beneath the purview of our county executive. So she wanted to know what we could do. We discussed our options. I applaud her. I commend her for what she's doing here today, and I stand behind her 100%. With that being said, make no mistake about it, there will be no Wicomico County Sheriff's deputies at our local detention center assisting in the processing of these individuals. We will not be there. We won't be involved at all because state law precludes us from doing so. But I fully support what this county executive is doing. When it comes to the icebreaker bill, I have lost two deputies, two uniformed deputies, good deputies, to ICE in the last several months. Two good deputies. No one can tell me because they've gone to ICE and they've worked there for a few weeks, a few months, or a couple years, that they would not make a good sheriff's deputy here in Wicomico County. That law is ludicrous. That proposed legislation is ludicrous. It slaps in the face of the hardworking men and women in my office who do extensive background checks, extensive vetting, before we hire anyone into a position as a sheriff's deputy. So that bill is absolutely ludicrous and slaps all law enforcement in the face. It makes no sense. Chief Deputy Widows from Cecil County, who spoke, Jerry Widows, who spoke a while ago, he's also a lawyer. He's been an attorney for many, many years. We all know the ramifications are for what's going on across this country. If we can't work with ICE in a secured facility, imagine what it's going to be like when literally, I've said it earlier and I've said it again, ICE has full authority to do what they're doing. Full authority to do what they're doing. And that includes kicking in doors and going after wanted illegals who have entered our country for various criminal offenses. They have full authority to do it, whether you like it or dislike it. They have all the authority in the world to do it. We don't want that happening here in Wicomico County. That's why we wanted to enter into a 287G and do it in a secured environment in our jails to prevent that from happening. When Madam County Executive presented me with some stats from our Wicomico County Detention Center, listing all those being held at the Wicomico County Detention Center, first-degree murder, second-degree murder, rape, sexual molestation of a child, the assault charges, there were dozens of them that are currently being held for illegals in our community. Illegals in our community. And if without an agreement, we risk them going back out in the community without being properly removed by ICE in a secure environment. We are now prepared to answer any questions you might have. Yes, Mike.
Thanks, Sheriff Lewis. Mike Goldberg with Open Agenda TV. Will any prospective WSO agreement with ICE provide for the defense and indemnification of not only the county and county taxpayers, but also will it indemnify and defend the corrections officers from any civil liability? And the second part to that question is, will ICE pay the county for the use of its resources when those resources are allocated to the enforcement of federal law?
Thank you, Mr. Goldberg. That would be an appropriate question for a county executive. It would only be fair for her and or Sheriff Jeff Gaylor, who's been involved with the 287G program for years, to talk about the indemnification that you talked about. Sheriff?
In Hartford, Cecil, and Frederick, we don't have the warrant service officer program. We have a different model. However, there is a, within the MOU, there is an indemnification So when our correctional deputies, again, not law enforcement, when the correctional deputies are performing their ICE functions, they're certified, they're trained by ICE, at no cost other than on-duty time and no cost to the taxpayers, they are indemnified and protected. So all that language, I can imagine, is mirrored in the agreement that the county executive has signed or will be signed.
And it's no additional work on behalf of the deputies at all. They're only querying, correct me if I'm wrong, Chair, they're only querying the other system.
Yeah.
For our process.
For us, it's a process, as you heard from Chief Deputy Widows. Every inmate who comes into the jail is screened by my trained deputies, and we ascertain whether they are in the country legally or not. This model, as I understand it, I'm not as familiar with it, when a detainer is already on file, it allows the correctional deputies, correctional officers of the county executive to serve those detainers on those people. And because of Maryland law, those people then have to be transported, deported out of state within 48 hours.
And keep in mind, Mike, this is not an agreement with the WCSO. This is an agreement with Wicomico County on behalf of the county executive.
Kyle.
Yeah, Sheriff Lewis, you had said this is being done to prevent ICE from coming in and, as you said, knocking down doors. What happens if this agreement doesn't do that? If ICE is coming in and, you know, the situations that you just described are happening, can Wicomico County do anything? Is there any action that can be done if that is the case? This agreement doesn't work the way you guys are saying it should.
Kyle, we'll do what we do now, and that's respond to the scene when something happens, quite frankly, to clean up the mess. To clean up the mess. And here's what I mean by that. A lot of people don't understand. Again, ICE has full authority to do what they're doing. Full authority to do what they're doing. But oftentimes, if a vehicle is wrecked in the process, there's a ram that takes place. And we've had a number of those here in the county. If an accident occurs, sheriff's deputies have to respond and properly investigate that. Believe me, we're not going to stop that from happening. But when it comes to going into homes, kicking in doors, they've got full authority to do that. They don't need us to respond, and we won't respond because that is an operational issue. If a shooting occurs and they need additional manpower to help secure the scene, then we will respond. But otherwise, that's exclusively an ICE operation. Sheriff's deputies are not involved with ICE at all operationally, and we don't intend to be. That's why doing this 287G program, everything is amping up right now. And believe me, I've said it multiple times here today. They have full authority to do what they're doing. It's only going to amp up here in Wicomico County. You're going to see a lot more here in Wicomico County. It's not going to slow down. And I've told you that personally, Kyle, one-on-one in conversations. It's not going to slow down. It's only going to amp up. And entering into a 287G program at the behest of the county executive, which I support 100%, again, it's one way we can control what's going on here in the county. We want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
My name's Debbie Krause from the west side of the county. And I just want to know, so you're saying that if you enter into this 287G, which you already say you're going to do, whether it's, you know, the county council approves it or not, or the public, that the ICE is not going to be in the neighborhoods. They're not going to be parked out of sight of schools. Do you know that that would be the case?
I know what the individuals are looking for are currently at the Wicomico County Detention Center, and they've lodged a detainer on them, and we're working with ICE to hold them and transfer them into ICE custody. They won't be going into neighborhoods looking for them. That we do know.
And one more follow-up question.
That's okay.
So when you say you have rapists and murderers that are immigrants in your jails, you release them to the public?
So we don't do any releasing, so that's not, you know, our role at all. What happens is that if they are out on their own recognizance or whatever the case may be, what I can tell you is, or they make bond or whatever the case, yeah. I mean, that's our judicial system. So that's the judicial system of Maryland. So there's really nothing we can do about that. But what we are seeing is there are more people being released. You know, since COVID happened, you know, a lot of different things happened, you know, changes in administration. They are being released. And what our issue is, and I have the documents, I mean, in here, I'll show you. These are serious crimes. Are your first-degree murders and things like that being held? Yes. However, we have allowed, you know, sex abuse of a minor. Armed robberies. I mean, these people are back out into the community. So what our hope is that in entering into the 287G, giving us an additional 48 hours, ICE will come and vet these individuals and determine whether they are suited to go back into the community. If they are, they will be released back into the community. And if they're not, then ICE will go ahead and take over from there. Yes, I'm sorry. We'll go here and then over to Kyle. Yes, sir.
So, Sheriff Lewis, how long have you been the sheriff of the county?
Almost 20 years.
All right. So, within those years, I guess these crime that you guys has evaluate these serious criminals that's in the prison compared to U.S.-born nationals, mm-hmm. have you guys did analysis to see the numbers of crime? Is it immigrants that are committing these crimes, or is it, you know, U.S. Nationals that are being committing these crimes?
I will answer. I get this question quite a bit as far as, you know, what percentage of the crime it is. My job is to stop as much crime as possible. You know, it's like, to me, that's a reason of, let's not focus on murders because there's just a few number of them, and let's focus on malicious destruction of property, which we have a lot of. That, to me, that's, if I can address it one person at a time, that's my duty. That's what I took an oath of office to do, to protect my community. And this program is one tool in our toolbox that allows us to do that. I haven't broke down the demographics, but certainly the immigrant population is a small number of my 268,000 residents of my county. So when you get to that, it doesn't mean we ignore that small amount of crime because it's only attributable to a small amount of people. And to the question about, you know, releasing, and I don't know if I'm following the question correctly, but I have to say, we've had two young women in our county murdered at the hands of people, you know, you're 1,500 miles from the southern border. What's the issue? I've had two young women, Rachel Morin, that case made national news, young mother of five who was slaughtered, essentially can't even describe it, on the trail by an illegal immigrant who crossed this border twice, tried to get in unsuccessfully, and then walked across the open southern border. He had an open Interpol warrant from his home country of El Salvador when he was picked up. Had he been picked up, he was not. Had he been picked up ahead of our arresting him for the crime, he would have screened in with no open offenses in the United States. We knew nothing about him, and he would have been released if it wasn't for ICE screening. And unfortunately, it didn't go that way. ICE knew about what it's not what they get arrested for, it's what ICE finds and how ICE designates them either a threat to public safety or national security. ICE knew that he had this Interpol warrant out there for murder. The other case, sadly, was a young lady who we had another El Salvador gang member enrolled in the public school system who took her life. Two women in back-to-back years killed at the hands of illegals. Is that the most murders that we've had in our county? No. Should we turn our back because, or are they any less important? Not turn our back. Are they any less important? No, they're just as important. Every single crime is important to me. If we can solve every single one, we would. So I kind of went astray on that answer, but that's the best I can do for you.
Thank you. Yeah. Actually, we're going to go to Kyle.
Julie, when you and I talked in November and the county initially backed away from this, it was due to legal threat from the state of Maryland. Does that legal threat still exist today?
Right. So when we first looked at this, we are the first county to enter into a 287G agreement where the sheriff does not oversee our correctional facility. ICE had never dealt with a situation like this. They're typically dealing with the sheriff and not the county executive. So it was kind of, you know, they were sort of working in uncharted territory. We were working in uncharted territory. The reason the legal ramification happened is when we originally spoke to ICE, the sheriff's office was going to be involved. These deputies already serve warrants, and we had talked to ICE, and they said, this is typically not our model, but we can work with you. They're very, you know, they know Sheriff Lewis. They felt very comfortable with him doing so. That's when the Attorney General put the opinion out that the state of Maryland law says that it is a correctional function. And so it removed law enforcement. So the legal ramification was having our sheriff's office involved. After doing some reconfiguring, meeting with the sheriff, meeting with our director of corrections, we were able to do so by removing the sheriff's office completely from it. Obviously wanting their support, but they will not be part of the operational aspect. So right now, no, it's, you know, the legal ramification is not there because it is a correctional model. And I will tell you, if the law is to pass and all, you know, things have to be terminated July 1st, 2026, it's no really not a loss in our county. We will obviously follow the law. However, as I stated, there will be legal ramifications across the state due to, you know, questioning the authority of the state to do away with this, working with a federal agency.
Quick follow-up, is the agreement in effect right now?
The agreement is in effect right now.
Thank you.
So it was signed days ago. Yes, well, a few days. Yes, ma'am.
For the sheriff, is there anything illegal that ICE agents would do that you have authority over to protect us?
Obviously, if I saw anything egregious that I knew based on 42 years of law enforcement experience that I believe to be illegal, I would address it immediately with ICE agents on the scene. I would pick my cell phone out of my back pocket, and I would call Baltimore to the director of ICE. Operationally, procedurally, I have no control over their operating procedures. If it's something illegal, 100%, I would address it immediately, ma'am. I would address it with them personally, and then I would call the director, and I had their cell phone numbers. Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. I'm going to protect this house. This is my priority here. Yes, sir.
Sheriff Lewis, you said multiple times that ICE has the right to kick those of residents in properly doing what you're seeing doing right now. Under what rights or law does that exist for ICE to do that?
Well, 42 years of experience working in law enforcement tells me that ICE has every... If they have an individual, if they have probable cause or reasonable articulable suspicion to believe someone is in that house, they have a right to forcibly enter and go in that house after that individual in the absence of a warrant. In the absence of a warrant. If they're not sure and they can list everything and they've got time, they can put everything in an application and have it signed by a judge. Otherwise, if they see somebody running that house or somebody says he's hiding in there right now, I just left the house, he's in there, yes, they've got a right to go in there and get that. And I will say this, and get the individual. I will say this. Each case is weighed on its own merit. Each case is weighed on its own merit. Every case has various levels of judicial review. Judicial review. And ultimately, one judge may say, perfectly legal. They appeal the case, the other judge says, no, I think it was illegal. Then it gets appealed again to the next level to say, no, he was perfectly legal, or she was perfectly legal doing what they're doing. I am no lawyer, but I've worked with lawyers side by side for 42 years. And I know the rules of engagement are different at the federal level than they are at the state level. They truly are. So I cannot recite with specificity what section or code says they can do it, but I've worked with feds for 42 years. I know that their rules of engagement are different and have been different than those at the local level. Chief Deputy Widows, you're an attorney. Could you answer that question any better than what I just did? And please, I want you to if you can.
Yeah, I agree with Sheriff Lewis. I'm not an expert on federal law, but I know state law, an arrest warrant carries with it the authority to enter someone's home, like Sheriff explained, if we have reasonable articulable suspicion to believe that the person named in the warrant lives there, and we have reasonable suspicion to believe that they are currently there. That arrest warrant carries with it the right to enter that home forcibly. Obviously, we don't like to do that on minor type crimes, but the warrant does carry with it the authority to enter forcibly someone's home with a signed judicial warrant, an independent judicial officer, gives us the authority to enter that home if we have reasonable suspicion to believe they're inside.
And we'll go Mr. Atkins and then Haley.
I'd like to give a clarification and then I'd like to ask the Chief Deputy a question. As far as the application for ICE, has that been approved or is that pending? Because on their website this morning, they show an application has been filed. They do not show that an application has been approved. So
right. Yes, sir. So it is pending right now, and I think it's just based on a time frame. I think there was a couple of last minute things that had to be tied up, but right now it is pending on their website.
It's an application.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And Chief Hefty, your model that you have in Cecil County versus a WSO model, if I understood you correctly when you spoke, you screen check every person that comes into your jail when you do that. Isn't that different than a WSO? And why is that not a better system that when someone is brought into the jail, they are screened at that point in time, and if there is an outstanding warrant, that ICE is notified as you're bringing that person in the door?
Do you mind if I take one thing really quick? Yeah. So, Mr. Atkins, actually, the sheriff actually asked the same question as to why we didn't go with the JEM model, which seems to be more so prevalent across the state. In speaking with Director Tyler, we are 30 correctional officers down, and so operationally, it would have been very difficult. The training is a little bit more extensive than the WSO model, and so it worked better for us with us being down the correctional officers. I will say I think the JEM model is probably better because everyone is getting screened equally coming in. The WSO model does not do that. So we are kind of at, you know, ICE very much informs us as to who the detainers are on. We're able to hold them for an additional 48 hours. Until we have more correctional officers, the WSO model is just better for us operationally.
So your decision to go with WSO is basically based on staffing at the detention center?
Correct. In talking with our director, yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Haley. This is a question for you. In the fall, you held off on the 287G due to the thought of the Senate Bill 245,
correct.
And it did happen. You were right about that.
Right.
In holding off until now, why did you decide to change your mind or choose now?
Right. So there were a lot of factors that came into play on this. So even though the legislation was going to be put forward, we had a feeling it was going to be put forward, and of course I testified on it last night. I will tell you, after hearing Homeland Security saying what they're going to do, I very much felt, regardless, I had to do what I needed to do to protect our citizens now. And so rather than ICE knocking on the doors of individuals or kicking doors in, I would rather it be at our correctional facility. And I really hope, you know, I stress to the legislature that they are signing. What they are doing in passing that bill is putting communities at risk. That's what they're doing, is putting communities at risk. And that's across the state of Maryland. I think they think they're doing one thing because it sounds good. And again, the people in the audience that were testifying in favor of the bill are under the impression that this bill gets rid of ICE in the state of Maryland, and it absolutely does not. All it does is remove the guardrails that these gentlemen have, that I hope that we will have, in keeping ICE in a more secure facility. That's all they're doing. It's actually putting Marylanders at risk, and that's why I stressed that this is not making Maryland safer. And I really think I was, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I think they heard me. We had really great discussion. I plan to testify, you know, when it crosses over to the House, if it gets out of the Senate. But I need them to understand that it's not making Maryland safer. We needed to be, I needed to show them that we did our homework. You know, we put it on pause. You know, everyone says, oh, you withdrew. I didn't withdraw from anything. I told everybody we put it on the back burner. It was never off of the table. I went to the sheriff numerous times. We had multiple discussions. I said, this is not sitting right with me. I feel like we are putting our citizens at risk. And after hearing from Homeland Security what their job is going to be, what their plans are, I wanted to keep our citizens safe. And so that's why we decided to enter into it.
Okay. And then if the Senate bill were to pass, do you think it could be upheld constitutionally? Or do you think, you know, what legal lengths are you willing to?
Yeah, so we actually have talked to a few law firms that would be interested in taking on that case, but I will leave that up to the attorneys. To me, I think it's unconstitutional, but, you know, I think that'll really be up for a court of law, so we will see. It has definitely drawn interest of legal firms across the nation, honestly, and I will tell you, most of them have agreed to come on pro bono, so it's not costing the county any money, but we will see what happens, and we'll cross that bridge when it comes.
So if they're willing to take a case pro bono, they feel very confident that we have a strong case, constitutional. And I agree with the county executive on that. And I want to go back to some comments she made in her opening statement. This is not about politics. It's about public safety, 100%. People can call it politics all day long. This is about public safety, period. I know she has struggled with this, as she said. She has truly struggled with this. We've met a number of times, and she just wanted to move forward in the very best way possible for this county. I agree with it 100%. And if the jail fell beneath my purview, this would have been done years ago in a jail enforcement model. Been done years ago. But with everything going on in the nation, the fact that jail doesn't fall beneath me, this county executive is the only county executive in the state that has done what she is currently doing. And she's pursued this diligently for the last several months. Yes, sir.
All right. I know we say this is not politics, but at previous council meetings, the last few, when this 287G amendment was on, was it not said, according to the executive, that this was something that was in your agenda? You were the one that approached her, that wanted to push this. But now, I guess, since there was no path for you to do it, now she's picking it up. Now you're saying that she, I guess, is the person, the main actor right now. So what changed?
Nothing's changed. I did approach her initially, but realized we could not do it because I don't have purview over the detention center. Nothing's changed at all. That's why I applaud her leadership, because she had to run with this as the county executive, because it's being done within a jail that I have no purview over. So the county executive, having purview over the jail, took the lead on it, and I applaud her for it. Nothing's changed at all.
Yeah, and the only other thing I want to add to that is when we were talking about, I don't necessarily think this is an agenda, but I would hope that every sheriff is about public safety. I mean, they need to keep their citizens safe. And I was appalled when I saw the crimes that were being committed. And at the end of the day, I understand, you know, there's always that debate, well, you know, U.S. citizens commit these same crimes. That's absolutely true. But you cannot, in this community, come here illegally and then be and misbehave. You cannot. And I'm going to tell you, the previous administration, federal administration, did not constitute coming across the borders a big deal. People poured into this country. This administration does not feel that way. There may be a different administration, you know, a change in the, like, where that changes. But right now, that in itself is a crime. So I get very frustrated when people say these people are not committing crimes. They have committed crimes. They crossed our border illegally. Now, does that not mean that they're functional members of society? Of course, they're working, they have kids in school. I completely understand that. But we cannot have people crossing this border illegally and then committing crimes in our community. And that's where they come in. And I think what the sheriff was saying, and I don't want to put words in their mouth, it doesn't matter at that point in time, the country of origin at that point. They are committing crimes in this community. And on top of that, crossing illegally. So my suggestion is, if you know of someone that is in our community that is not legal, does not have their legal, please don't reach out. What I mean by that is that have them become a citizen. We welcome them to become a citizen. Do it the right way. Do it legally. Our Haitian community has built here, everyone that I know has done it the right way, the people that I know. So they have done it the right way. Come here and do it the right way. And we promote that. We want them part of our community. But you cannot come here breaking laws of immigration and then break our laws here. It can't happen. It can't happen. And I think I felt that I was not doing this community justice by sitting back knowing that I have people who have sexually abused minors. I have people that have, you know, assaulted people, assaulted officers, and we're not doing anything. They're coming right back on the streets. I cannot sit with that. And if that makes it political, fine. But me as a human being, me as a mom, as a teacher of 17 years, I care about this community, and I have to do everything in my power to make them safe. And I feel that the sheriff feels the same way.
100%.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. I was going to kind of go around the room real quick.
I mean, I just want to do a little follow-up for what you said in regards to illegal crossing and coming in illegal. Do you understand that anyone... majority of the folks that do cross did, whether it was a previous administration, whether the laws that was then and now is different, but you do understand that majority of these immigrants did come into the country illegally. Now, current administration may disagree of how they came in or revoke their status, so you do understand that they came legal, mm-hmm. You make them illegal, now you make them undocumented.
Right. I totally understand. And again, I mean, it's not me. It's not me making
well,
them.
I'm
you know what
this,
I mean?
This is our country, right?
Right, exactly. But that's what elections are for, right? So this person whether you like him or not, was elected into office. And I don't know why anybody would be shocked. He stated this from the very beginning. This is what he ran on. You talk about a campaign promise. This is what he ran on. And so this is what we're working with. So what I'm trying to do right now is I, again, do not want ICE going into our communities. I don't want a Minneapolis here in Wicomico County. I don't. And so my thought is, and what they're saying is, if we can work with these counties in the jails, it will keep us out of the community. And that's what we're hoping to do. Josh?
Can you clarify the application process and the timing of this development plan?
Sure. So the application process is, I was sent the MOA. There was some, you know, talk about whether the council needed to approve it. So the way our charter works is, if it's a multi-year deal, the county council has to approve. If it's a one-year deal, I'm fine to sign it. This is an open-ended contract. We knew with the legislation going into effect that it might not last a year. We also have told the county council that if we decide to extend it past a year, if this law doesn't pass, it will go back in front of them. So they are well aware of that. With that being said, the contract, the MOA has been signed. And it has been sent off. So right now, we're just kind of in a holding pattern. There were a couple of I's that needed to be dotted, T's that needed to be crossed. But other than that, we're, you know, you're in a pending status until, I'm not sure if there's training that has to occur. I'm not really sure once you enter it. And then does it come off of pending after the training or like until you're online, like doing it? I'm not really sure.
I just speak again, and this has been nearly a decade.
Right,
me.
Sorry.
We submitted a letter of interest. We received acceptance into the program. And then when it came to the MOU, it was actually Tom Homan, who was the Baltimore field office director, who came to the sheriff's office, and we signed the MOU together. And then we had to begin training our people, and our people go to Charleston, South Carolina, at the expense of ICE and the federal government, not costing the Hartford County taxpayers anything, where they are in, I think it's a two-week class, four-week class. And again, I said, on-duty time is the only commitment and expense. All the equipment that is brought in, and we have the jail enforcement model, so all the equipment that comes into the jail, they ran their own T1, that makes sense to the IT people, I guess. They ran their own line into the facility and the computers. All the expenses are theirs. So we had to get our people trained up, so I imagine that's going to be the next step in this process, is to send your deputies or your officers for training.
Yeah, and actually, this training is a lot less intense, so it's an 8-hour training course where ICE will actually come down here and do the training here. That was another reason we just could not afford to send our officers for 4-week training. We just don't have the staff to do that. Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Executive. It was only just now disclosed in response to a question that application has been submitted to ICE to enter into the WSO program. It just seems to me, it caught my attention, that this is the top headline for this story. Is there a reason that that disclosure was not made part of any of the presentations or was not included in the press release? Was there a reason to not bring that out to the front?
Sure. So in my comments, I said, and that is why I am proud to announce that my administration has committed to entering into the 287G program, specifically the Warrant Service Officer model. So I said it in my remarks.
Okay. And my apologies if I missed that. And have you received any formal concurrence from the county council to enter into this at this time?
Yes. So I guess in defining formal, so I will let everyone know that Steve Lakin, my assistant director of administration, has been in contact with President Cannon throughout this entire process. He was made aware of every step that we were doing days in advance, and that's what he asked of us. And what he said, and I'm just going off of what he said, is that we had a majority of support from the county council. His words.
But no formal vote.
There didn't need to be a formal vote or consensus. From what I understood, we just sort of, we back-channeled through the county council. They are well aware. They were invited today. They decided not to come, but they were invited. They've been made aware of every step of this.
And if you do not receive formal concurrence from the council, and it does prove to be a multiple-year agreement or over 1 year, do you intend to enter into the WSO agreement with ICE anyway?
So the WSO, we're already in it now. We've already signed the paperwork.
That hasn't been accepted yet, correct?
correct?
Well, it hasn't been accepted by ICE yet, correct. It's still pending on the website. At this point in time, for the timing-wise, I didn't need the county council, but we kept them abreast of every step of the way. And I will tell you, the sheriff has met with the county council and council president a few times on this topic.
I was about to say, Madam Executive, I can tell you that I have been told that we have the majority of the council's support and approval on this. I've been told that personally myself.
We'll take a couple other questions, and then we'll start with you, Mr.
Ricketts. To our two guests, in the ICE agreements that I've seen in the past, have either one of you ever run into a situation where ICE has required